Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for The Walking Dead on AMC. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're here to do the feedback episode for Season 10, Episode 12. It's had a walk with us. Aaron, I'm seeing in the queue right now we have one piece of feedback.
Well, we're going to see if we can rub one piece of feedback together and make two. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Are we just going to get right to it?
Why not?
Okay. Well, then let's do this.
Hey, guys. We haven't really checked in with Michonne for a while. I was curious as to how you guys thought the season was going to end with her. Is she gonna die, or what situation would make her, leave Judith and RJ? It's been quite a while, and got to finish it this season, so I was wondering your thoughts. Thanks.
What separates Michonne from RJ and Judith? Like, death.
That's it. That's the only thing.
Honestly, that's the biggest problem I have with these Rick movies. Like, I don't believe for a second that Rick Grimes does not do everything he can to escape and get back to his family. They're going to have to do, that's going to be the first thing. I'm going to be sitting there in the theaters testily waiting for them to explain why we're going to wake up to him and it's going to be like Mad Max, like him dashing through tunnels on his 100th escape attempt that's been foiled by the AB people and by the trash people, or he's going to be fat, dumb and happy. And I'm going to be like, why, you son of a bitch? Why have you forgot Michonne? Why have you forgot Judith? Do you know how adorable Judith is? And I don't know, but, so I don't think that she would give up. Is this show willing to destroy Alexandria in the last year? Because what I do think is starting to take shape is a steady march to the sea in Georgia.
Yeah?
Oh my God. Oh my God, Georgians. Like Alpha is going to be steadily marching and taking that hilltop, then Alexandria, then there's going to be a last stand at Oceanside. Michonne is going to be riding in on a boat with some kind
carrier.
With some kind of fucking super weapon. Like, I don't know if it's a miss. What could it fucking be?
All right. We don't need the super weapon anymore, right? Because we've decapitated the Horde. I'm starting to think super weapon is off the table. She's not going to roll in with a nuke or an Apache attack helicopter or something. I'm starting to think that they're setting up the Tale of Two Cities literally here with one naval base, right? And one Blue Weevil town. One of those is going to be good. One of those is going to be bad. There has to be a villain or something, some tension for the final season. And the Whisperers are effectively gone now. So,
ooh, interesting. So there's going to be a militant colony out on this naval base.
Georgie?
There's going to be.
Yeah, right. I don't
know. Could be the Ham Girl. Ham Girl could be the Georgie establishment.
It could be. Yeah. They're just opening a lot of cans of worms with these two new civilizations. They can't both just be, all right, everything's great, and we're going to integrate everybody into all of our civilizations, and the future is rosy. So I don't know. I don't think Michonne is dead, or probably even going to die by the end of this, but.
You know, I think, actually, what do you think the odds are that the Ham Girl is, Blue Weevil is Georgie Porgy? Because.
Georgie herself?
You know, they're. Part of the project for a new future or whatever the Georgie's binder is.
Yeah.
Because I think it's interesting that her and Eugene never revealed their names until the very last episode, and immediately they're going to permanently lose contact. So like if Maggie were like, you know, passing time with Blue Weevil, and she's like, so what about this boy that you've been talking to? He's like, well, last night he just said his name's Eugene and he wears a mullet and he's from this. Maggie's like, oh, my God, that's my Eugene. But then there, it sets us up to where believe, because like that's one of the big problems I have is if Maggie's with Georgie. And Ham Girl's with Georgie, then like, is this just a big cat that just fucking with Eugene, right, and like having, or if that's the thing that would allow the kind of mistaken identity, or like, not quite sure. But then again, if Ham Girl's with Georgie, I don't know why they're being so cagey about making first contact, because as far as I can tell, that's what Georgie kind of does. Roll right, around with her secret right, service and trade records for binders.
Yeah.
With promises of rebuilding society. I
really just hope that Eugene is being catfished, because I don't want Eugene to somehow stumble into a healthy relationship here.
No,
no, I want to see Eugene spurned to the very end, man. I want to see Eugene flounder and flounce around trying to find love and fail at every turn. That's what I want for Eugene.
Nah, I'm on team Eugene. You know, find somebody.
Nah. Everybody else, they can find somebody. Eugene, I want him to be, I don't know, whatever.
So I wonder, like, cause like, this also seems like a pretty good bet that Maggie's going to show up by the end of the season. Is there any potential that, like, because there was like some lone survivor on this naval town, right? Some guy, like, it's like, I didn't think it was like a big settlement. Is it possible that, like, Maggie is over there, and like, this is like Georgie's heard the rumors too, and they're trying to secure this arms depot, and this is like, Michonne can meet up with them, and then they kind of ride in victoriously to save the day? Because maybe it's not like a literal last minute during the siege, but like, they land at the beach the day before the invasion, and now they have all these rocket launchers and mines, and they're just going to completely turn the tables on flamethrowers. Who knows what the fuck they got?
I don't know. Georgie doesn't strike me as the naval base type or the seafaring type, but maybe.
We got to get back to Michonne. Like, she's got to have effectively a solo episode pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because that's where we left her. And like, I don't know. It'd be awful weird if we just literally see her show up next time with crates of weapons and, you know, kind of Deus Ex, you know, Michonne-ina.
And she's, where do you think she heads? Do you think she goes to Hilltop to try and pick up Judith?
No.
And then,
well, I mean,
realizes, like, shit. Something bad.
I think, I mean, the port's there at Oceanside. I think you have to, like, you have to land at Oceanside first.
Yeah, but Oceanside doesn't know shit about Hilltop, right? So,
but why would you go to Hilltop? You'd go, like, first you go down, because aren't they, like, sequentially?
Judith.
Like,
where was Judith when Michonne left? I know she was at
Hilltop.
Oceanside, but she was headed to Hilltop?
I think so, yeah.
So I would think,
but like,
Michonne,
if you get
to
Alexandria, yeah, I guess I don't feel like that she would get to Alexandria and then like they'd crisscross the Hilltop people and they're, you know, like, I don't know.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if she goes to Alexandria first, they'll probably tell her what happened to Hilltop. Who knows? Their communication's bad.
We rubbed that message together and we got another one.
We did. Let's see if we
can we continue spinning
luck.
Air into gold.
No whammies, no whammies. And
hey guys, Jabbed here. I got a question for you. Help me recontextualize the show. I tried to watch an early episode of season 10 when you guys started coverage again, and I just couldn't get into it. It was just way too hokey for me. Am I taking this show too seriously? And am I trying to watch it like it was back in its heyday? How do I reframe it so I can try and enjoy it? Thanks.
See, this is the thing I'm worried about. Has Walking Dead gotten so much better, or was I just like, because I always liked the characters, or is it just like starting to nail the characters and it's still fucking hokey? Because like, I'm not telling you the Whispers are not a dumb, stupid concept.
Yeah, yeah.
But the show takes them seriously and it works for me. But I don't know what the other thing is, like early season 10. I guess like if you didn't see any of 9 and you just start up season 10 and that's like Aaron on the beach with all the fucking, you know, right. Mad Max medieval formation shit,
I thought was shitty. But yep.
I mean, I thought it was I thought it was exciting because like it might be cool. It pertains to, it's like you know, a little teaser for future battles that could be cool.
Yeah.
They're not, it wasn't that cool. Daryl with the mace is pretty cool. Morningstar or flail, whatever. But like, yeah, I don't know. Like The Walking Dead's in this zone where you kind of have to take it seriously or the character stuff won't work. And hopefully the character stuff sucks you in that you're willing to kind of overlook some of the silly stuff to see or find it like it's like it's not silly. It's like cool in an army of darkness kind of way.
OK, yeah.
Like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Like Ash building a mechanical arm, just some dumb fuck that works at Kmart. That's stupid, but it's cool.
Yeah,
and like him turning his car into like a rotating lawn mowing zombie deathmobile. Pretty stupid, but also cool, you know. And like sometimes even the Army Darkness like gets too stupid for me. Like the scene of all the mini Ashes and like that's a little too slapstick and Three Stooges. But like overall, yeah, it walks that cool badass line.
Yeah. I think you're right. It is hokey. It is silly at times, certainly. And the comparison here, the we make is the rest of The Walking Dead. And this latest stuff has been much better than earlier stuff. So our perspective is probably warped by that, certainly.
Yeah.
And honestly, like I come to this show just looking to have fun, and if it's able to deliver, you know, a couple cool zombies and a good kill every once in a while, and just a moment of a character being real with another character, I'm good with that. I'm not taking this show as seriously, obviously. If you listen to this podcast, we joke about all types of stupid shit. The tone is different than, say, when we talked about Rain Man coming up Wednesday, tomorrow, right? Or any of the other prestige stuff we do when we talk about even shows like Watchmen, which have fundamentally silly superhero concepts in them.
Lube Man.
This show's just right. This show's just that type of show. And I think our opinion on that has like changed over the years, because in season one, we didn't think it was that type of show. We thought, Darabont's bringing this very serious look at the apocalypse and, you know, the weight that would carry and have on people and how it would change society and them. And then that went out the window come season three, right? When he went out the window. So, yeah, ever since it's been getting hokier and sillier and more ridiculous. And then I would say season 9 and 10 have kind of like pulled that back a little bit, but not all the way.
And it's not like it's maybe not even as less ridiculous or hokey, but it's more of like they don't waste your time. The story feels like it gets to a point. There are situations that the characters we know and love are organically reacting to. And it's more of like genuine differences of their opinion and tactics and strategy than it is just, you know, someone deciding he's just not going to kill in year three of the zombie apocalypse no more, except for I'm going to. Oh, now I got to go clear. It's less of that shit. It's more of like, you don't know, like good serialized television, I guess. But this is not the greatest show.
No.
It could have been. But what it is, I think, the best version of what it could have been after season 8. That's what it feels like now. It's like, you know, if you can put aside your bitterness of how like season 6 through 8 went and just take the basic facts of like there was a savior war and Negan lost and Rick won and there is this mercy prevail over my wrath and there is this like jail thing. Also, like if you buy into that and it I think it works. I really do. Like I said, I've this show's moved me to tears a couple times this year. And I can't remember since like Lori's death, which I felt so bad for after hyping it up for so long. I can't remember genuinely like when Carl died, like it was such a muted impact.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I feel like if Angela Kang had just done those two seasons, those would have been, I just feel like, I feel like that if Angela Kang had taken over right around season 4 or 5, this team, Walking Dead would have a completely different legacy.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering the Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwais is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
Hey guys, it's Michelle. We have a user in chat who does not have the Stereo app, but would like to ask a question. So on behalf of Kalina Bear, what did you guys think of Samantha Morton's overall performance of Alpha now that she's wrapped? Where does she rank in your list of antagonists?
That's a really good question. Gosh, is she like the best? Like maybe Shane?
I mean,
like
Negan. Right,
like below Shane? Yeah, Negan.
Negan's like, probably Negan, my favorite.
Negan hung around being Negan for about a season too long. But,
yeah, like I like him better now that he's a protagonist instead of an antagonist.
Right.
But definitely like he was the most organized, the most believable, I think, too. That's kind of important. Because, you know, what's his face? The lead singer of Ben Folds 5 or whatever, who was at Terminus. It was not scary.
Right. No.
I don't know who the fuck that guy was, but yeah.
No. Total asshole.
Yeah, Denise Crosby. She
governor. Yeah, she's scary. The governor, like, yeah, like I think Shane is up there.
Yeah.
Because he definitely was like the antagonist in season two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Shane's probably number one. And then Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and then
because that's when the show Alpha. Could like you could take it seriously. Yeah. And honestly, I don't know, man, like if Negan's seasons were edited to where like get all the fat and it was just all the muscle. Yes, he would be clearly probably the number one. But like, I think you can make an argument for like pound for pound, Samantha Morton
Her shtick was creepy and scary and like was more mm-hmm. effectively creepy and scary for longer times. Of course, that's a big part of that is like a lot of Negan was how uncompromising he was. Well, in the show, they drug the plot out so long that Negan had to kind of compromise or like, yeah. you know, Alexander would be crushed, right? Or Rick would have gotten his brains bashed in or something, uh-huh. you know? So like he was kind of defanged by the end where like Alpha always felt terrifying all the time. Right up until she died.
I forgot the true alpha of all protagonists. It's Romulan Subcommander Jadis. God, you remember how good that scene, how not hokey and great that season five was, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's a five, was it seven? It was like seven or something.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is like she was a trash person and she wasn't a trash person and she went back to trash person and she was ironic trash person.
Can you imagine? You had Dave call in and say, yeah, this show's a little hokey in season 10. Go back to season 7 and see what you think about that, because holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those trash people, man.
Yeah. Are we leaving out any? Because there was like the Claimers.
Claimers
are pretty good, like 3-4 season arc. There was the Hunters. I think that was a slightly the cannibals were eating Bob. They weren't Terminus folk, were they? The tainted meat.
I don't know.
But we're talking like pretty
minor.
There's the cops at Slaptown.
Right. Right.
They're one episode kind of mini monsters. She's definitely Samantha Morton's definitely up there. I've gotten a lot of Samantha Morton the last few years. I loved her on Harlots. We just saw her on one of her first roles in Minority Report last night, where she didn't do much. You know, but
flailed around in a tank of goo, got flushed down the toilet. I don't know.
Arguably, like, the Governor and Negan are all their own type of cult leaders, but this is the first time, like, Walking Dead has just gone full in on, like, just, like, what if a cult leader of the zombie apocalypse, and it's really frightening, I think, and the fact that, like, you can kind of get versions of this to work in our world.
But it's also unique to that world, too, like, that particular flavor of it.
Right.
It's like something you can't do outside the zombie apocalypse.
And which is honestly, that makes it one of the more effect because like there's a lot of truth to it. Like from within her frame of reference, I think her religion is entirely literally true. You know, like you can walk with us or you can walk with us. And like you protect, in life you serve the herd, in death you serve the herd. Mm-hmm. And like there's a unity of purpose and there's a certain amount of like internal logic to the whole thing. A lot of evidence that like there is no like you're fooling yourself by pretending that you're not already dead, and there's freedom once you just accept that the truth is that you've already died, you know? Like, yeah, I get it. It's like it's horrifying and crazy, but like, yeah, I can see it.
All right. You know what I see is one final email or one final voicemail here. Let's get to it.
Hey guys, we have another piece of feedback from Kalina Bear. They wanted to kind of point out that in last week's episode, you missed the paintings at Hilltop. So you saw Glenn's image, but we can clarify that it is Maggie's office. So Carol was staring at all of Maggie's family members' paintings in her office. Thanks.
Oh, okay. So that was like Doodlebug and Herschel and Glenn and...
I definitely saw Herschel and Glenn, but yeah, I couldn't make out the others.
Right. And there's a bunch more. So it had to be more than just her. I wonder if that's like everyone that died at Hilltop.
Oh, I mean, more than just her shrine family. To Maggie's family, I would buy that. Like she had...
Really?
I don't know. She had at least three family members. I saw at least five or so paintings.
That's what I thought. There's like seven paintings. So
I thought I saw Sadiq up there, but that means somebody was painting these actively.
I wonder if they've added to. Yeah. Or like, was Gregory up there?
Oh, no. No, fuck no.
There's a wall of shame that he's on with his fucking casks of whiskey and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, like I said, I
if I was doing this as a normal, I would have gone up and looked up whoever, but like, I just am really shy about looking, researching The Walking Dead, because so easy to get spoilers when we're catch, although we're getting pretty caught up. Like, I'm going to be a little bit bolder when we switch to the bonus episodes, because like, to my understanding, like, they don't really spoil anything about the state of the world. So like, I might start like researching stuff when we get into those. And then once we catch up, then it's going to be back to like full on, you know, looking up everything as much as I can. Although like, that's the thing is like, later episodes, like season 7 and 8, I don't know, I did that as much as because I thought The Walking Dead, like, rarely it rewarded it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't. Like, I don't think I will be doing nearly as much research in season 11 as I did in season 2 and 3, right? Because, like,
that's fair. Very fair.
The show is, I just like to have fun with this show. I get on the podcast, I see what I see. Talk about what I talk about. I do a little bit of research, like if I think,
call it like it is
interesting. Yeah,
straight down the middle.
Yeah, I'm a straight shooter. You know, not gonna bullshit.
Strike
you.
A strike, ball's a ball,
and a podcast is a podcast, and that's a full one.
So there you go. See, we did it. We rubbed some feedback together, and we made a feedback episode. We do this every Tuesday, by the way, at 1 p.m. Eastern. We get on twitch.tv/baldmove, record these episodes live. Then we get on simultaneously. We air it to stereo.com/baldmove. You can listen or watch either place, but you can only leave the instant feedback for us over on stereo.com/baldmove. And then we play them on the feedback episode. I expect this to really take off again when we get to the new stuff. I'm excited for that. And like, to integrate this into like some of our instant tasks and stuff. Like, we're still talking about that and working on better integrations and whatnot. But thanks for everybody that participated. We'll be back next week to talk about the next episode. Getting real close to being at the end of season 10 now. We'll be back next week. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.